Okay, this is Sunday morning. This is April the 14th, 2019, and this is called The Grace of Giving. There's a lot of giving fallacies, I believe, in the body of Christ. I think the general rule is the bigger the better. But the Lord taught me many years ago, I don't even have any years, 30 plus years ago, He began to teach me about this. And I've always tried to walk by this. All right, giving, the bigger, the better. One time I was out at a church and there was a speaker there. And I had my checkbook, but I said, "Lord, how much you want me to give, $100? He said, "How much you got in your wallet?" And I said, $3. He said, "Give $3. I thought, well, I would have thought he would have thought the $100 would have been better. But no, obedience is better. Like the widow's mite, for instance. Well, there's a lot of people that live by this other rule, and I'm telling you, these people that live by this rule, I think they're burnt out. Oh, look at this. This is Matthew 5. Because it's absolutely not the truth. 5:42. Give to him who keeps on begging from you, and do not turn away from him who would borrow from you. I've heard people say that. Well, you know, I've got so much on my plate, I'm falling apart, I don't know what to do. But the scripture says that I'm supposed to do this. Anything and everything anybody asks of me, I'm supposed to do. People who live this way are burnt out. Learning to be led by the Spirit in your giving. If the Lord requires you to walk by faith in every other area, why would not He require you to do so by your giving, especially? Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's Romans 8:14. When we obey God, grace comes alongside to accomplish. It's the same with giving. Okay, now we're going to look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, we want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia. From the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and their depth of poverty have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. For as I can bear witness, according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and voluntarily. These people, they were suffering poverty, but it says they were abounding in their giving, and they did it without, it was a voluntary thing. It's like God graciously came on them and caused them to give. Begging us most insistently for the favor and the fellowship of contributing in this ministration for the saints. Nor that we expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. These people knew where it was at. So they were not, they didn't go before them and plead with them and show them pictures of little babies with swollen bellies and all kinds of things to evoke a reaction, an emotional reaction out of the people to get them to give, or the starving people in the places where they were going to be. Tactics. No, God laid it on their heart to sow the seed. The grace of giving. The Lord taught me this many years ago. Do you ever wonder why giving yields no return and other giving does? Spirit-led giving has a high yield. And I believe if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If the Lord told me to give $3 and I went ahead and gave $100 because I thought bigger was better. I don't think that I would have gotten the return that I wanted. Okay. If it isn't lead, it's just of the flesh. You know, when Jesus looked at the little widow, he observed all the big dogs with all their massive amounts of money throwing it into the treasury and it to be seen of men. But he noticed the little lady that had half a cent. The mite was worth about a half a cent. She was told about in the Word of God because of what she did. Okay. Over the years, I've listened to Jesse DePlantis off and on, and he's funny, and I get a kick out of him. But every once in a while, he comes through with a nugget. And one time, he said this. He said, never give based on need. Don't let what that person needs, what you see with your physical eyes, cause your emotions to get involved in something that should be a spiritual matter that's led by the Spirit of God. And I'll tell a story. Danny and I were talking about it the other day, and I know you've heard it. When Jerry Savelle first started out, he left his wife with, I think, $20. He was going to be gone, I think, for 3 months, and that's all the money he had in the world. And she had two little babies. Well, what did Carolyn do? She went to church and gave the whole $20 in the offering plate. Well, but she had a full supply while he was gone. But here, Jerry, he's got, I think it was two pairs of pants and a coat. And here they're having meetings every night, so he's just switching the pants. One service wear one pant, next the next. And Kenneth Copeland, I've heard Gloria Copeland say, he loves to give more than anything else in the world. And I'm sure he wanted to take Jerry down and buy suits, but what did he do? He let God work in Jerry's life. God was trying to teach Jerry to walk by faith. He's a faith ministry. Isn't it ever-increasing faith? Is that the name of his ministry? Or what is this? No, that's, what is it? Adventures in Faith. Well, to learn adventures in faith, you're going to have to learn to walk by faith, bless God. So, long story short, he gave, I think, one of his pairs of pants and a coat away to a Mexican kid in Odessa, Texas. A few days later, somebody left a check for him at the lobby, and he went and bought him 10 new suits. Kenneth Copeland saw his suit and said, that faith works, don't it, boy? You know, he had to let him alone. He had to let him. It's kind of like you got to let your kid walk. If you carry him everywhere, it's going to get a little heavy when they get to be 21 and they can't walk. They have to learn to walk by faith, and so we have to be led in our giving lest we be a hindrance. There's a church here that we went to for a time, and this guy, the teacher, pastor out there, he said, there was a couple in our church. Needy. I think I might know the same couple. I'm not sure. But anyway, they're still the same way, and it's been all these years. But it was like every time they had a need, he'd go buy groceries or go over there and do something. And the Lord told him, you're hindering me. Every time I'm trying to teach them something, you go buy them something because you see their need and you go buy it and you're getting in the way. Okay. We're to be spirit-led. It's like Ananias and Sapphira. It was within their hearts to decide whether to give or not. God was not wrenching it out of them. But once they made the commitment and told everyone they were doing it, then they lied. So God cares about that kind of thing. It's very important because the love of money is the root to all evil. Okay, it doesn't always apply to just money. Some people just ask for things. They don't have any shame. They apply pressure on you to do things, and I hate it. I believe this is very wrong. Who is our supply? Jesus. I've even talked to one of our children about, they wanted to set their dad straight on what he needed to be doing about a certain thing, and I said, you are not going to do that. I said, you have no right to do that. I said, if you think your dad needs to do something, you need to go to the Lord about it and let the Lord speak to your dad about it. Really, it should be that way in the body. If we're looking to Jesus as our supplier, we're on our face asking Jesus to supply our need, He moves on the person, not you always hinting to that person, well, you know, if you ever want to get rid of that, I'd sure like that. Or, you know, just, you ever been around people like that? I hate it. It makes me not want to give, and it makes me want to be, it makes me go in the other direction. But you know how, what a blessing it is when you go to the Lord and you ask Him for something and He speaks to somebody, they give it to you. What a blessing it is to you. You know God truly did it. Okay. All right. Philippians 4:19 should be our way of receiving our supply. Not applying pressure to people. And not just money, and other things too. Somebody just, you know, hounds you about things and always asks you to do things. You're going, I don't want to do those things. And you start feeling violated and you start feeling resentful. Like, don't ask me that again. There's one thing about a giver, people that do give. They don't want to be told, you need to give me this. Mm-mm. No. Hate it. It may, like I said, it makes me want to run the other direction. I want to give because the Lord has spoken to me and said, give. All right. It's called control. All right, this is how we do it. Philippians 4:19, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We ask the supplier and He sends a courier with the item or with whatever it is we're asking for. And there's no pressure. It's a God thing. It's anointed. It is graced. That's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. Okay. Manipulation. It is to control or play upon by artful, unfair, or insidious means, especially to one's own advantage. Well, I've done so much for you, you owe me. Ever hear that one? You owe me? Or you gave them that, so you owe me. Mm-hmm. Personally, I spent many years of my life in agony over people laying guilt trips on me and trying to get me to do things that they wanted me to do. And I had to learn to say no. I'm still having to learn to say no in some instances. If they have the gall to ask, then I have the same gall to say no. I like one time Danny was going to bless his stepfather with tickets to the hockey game, and he asked him if he wanted to go. And he said, oh, no, thank you. I wouldn't enjoy that at all, but I appreciate very kindly that you thought of me. Just let your yes be yes and your no, no. Because I'm thinking, if they've got the nerve to ask you, you've got the nerve to say, oh, heck no. But as Christians, we think we just have to be nice and just do whatever anybody wants us to do. Yeah, that's why there's a bunch of saggy, baggy, burnout Christians that the Lord can't use. Because they don't know when to say no. They don't know when to be led by the Spirit or not be led by the Spirit. They're so confused. God doesn't like that. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. Luke 10. Yeah, we've got to let the Lord teach them. We've got to be led. Luke 10:38. Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village and a woman named Martha received and welcomed Him into her house. She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet was listening to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she came up to Him and said, Lord, is it nothing that to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord replied to her, saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her. So, oh, you know, she thought, well, the Lord will go get on her and make her come in here and help me. She wasn't led to do that. Do you know in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it talks about grace, our grace to do whatever God has called us to do. Martha evidently was in the serving, which is in Romans 12. She was kind of a servant mentality. She wanted to be the one doing the cooking and the serving people. God gives grace for whatever area he's called us to. So she's graced to do it. Probably Mary was not graced to do it. Maybe she was a preacher. She was at his feet learning. See, that way we're not pulling. All the women have to be in the women's group, and they all have to serve at all the baby showers and do all the, you know, all the, you know what I'm saying? They put us all in a box. I used to hate women's meetings. It was always a fashion show. And the men went up to the mountain somewhere and had a spiritual time. I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? I said, if anybody needs the spiritual mountain, it's the women, because they're dealing with the kids all day. See, we're graced. We're graced to do where God puts us. Our walk is grace, so we don't become Martha's but Mary's. We must allow God's leading in our giving so we are flowing with God and not getting in his way. Bailouts can stop God's work in someone's life. Plain, simple. They're learning to depend on God for their supply. But people sometimes just get in the way. So we need to learn to walk in the grace of giving. So don't let nobody pull it out of you.